1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. We've leapt over several chapters. We next meet Jonathan just after David has killed Goliath. We read in the 17th chapter that as David was coming back from the killing of Goliath, still carrying, holding Goliath's head, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. And Saul and David were formally introduced, as it were. Chapter 18 opens with, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Now we've seen Jonathan, the brave young man, the daring young man, the man full of faith, the courageous man, the audacious young man, the positive thinker, the risk taker, the warrior. We've seen a man who shows common sense, down to earth, practical, useful sort of man. But now we meet another side, a very wonderful side of this young man, Jonathan. Jonathan is a friend. He shows tenderness, goodness, love, and in this regard he shows greatness. He shows his greatness. And of course this matter of friendship and mutual respect and love and care for one another comes right over into the New Covenant and is even stronger there. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 22, where the apostle urges believers to have sincere love for our brothers, to love one another deeply from the heart. That's what we must do, brother and sister, to show love, spiritual friendship, mutual fellowship together. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you have love one for another. It's only a small point I want to make in this discourse, but it opens up. It's this question of friendship. Friendship. Jonathan takes the initiative here. That shows his greatness. He has everything to lose here, humanly speaking. But he takes the initiative. And friendship, this kind of friendship that Jonathan shows, is spoken of very frequently in Scripture, it seems to me. A friend loves at all times. A friend sticks closer than a brother. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and so on and so on. The psalmist deplored his loneliness, Psalm 88, verse 18. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. He's lost his closest friends. The darkness is my closest friend now, he says. Paul needs his Barnabas and Saul. We need friendship. God has created us for this purpose. Go back to the very beginning with Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, what's the whole basis of marriage? It's companionship. It's not good for the man to dwell alone. It runs right throughout the New Testament, the New Covenant, as well as the Old. One of the most debased words in the Christian currency is this, fellowship. Fellowship for many just becomes a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, sharing recipes, or just merely chit-chat. But fellowship, friendship, real communication with each other, real heart sharing with each other, not mere gossip. And here we have a wonderful example in the life of Jonathan, and it should come over into our ecclesia life, our church life. Friendship should be at a very high level amongst us, brothers and sisters. We need it today. I need it. You need it. But of course, Jonathan shows the greatness here, because, as I say, he takes the initiative. If you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. And Jonathan, although he's got so much to lose, shows how great a man he is by extending friendship to David. They came together, these two young men, in God's providence, through the Philistine, Goliath. But David became Jonathan's friend. As I say, it was Jonathan who became one in spirit with David. Jonathan could have been jealous of David. David had done something that no other man had done, a young man, younger than Jonathan, and Jonathan the second in the kingdom, and shown himself a military man of some might, but he couldn't do it. And so he could have been angry and bitter and jealous and piqued and miffed, petty-minded, but no. He became David's friend. He stooped, as it were. He showed his greatness here, his gift. It's a very important point in itself. I feel the rebuke of it. Can we rejoice in the prosperity of another? Can we rejoice where others succeed and we perhaps couldn't? Or do we carp? He recognized the better gifted man here. He recognized Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. What a powerful section. Each esteeming other better than ourselves. It's a tremendous standard. Even Christ gave himself for us, and that's the great overall standard here. The mutuality that there is here. 2 Corinthians 1. We have comfort in our trials that we can comfort others. 2 Corinthians 8. You have money at the moment, you can supply their need. Soon it will be the other way round. Their supply will be able to meet your need. It's the mutuality. But here, as I say, there's greatness in this friendship. For Jonathan knows that the more David goes up, the more he will have to come down. And he's loving David to his own hurt. I say these things, it's easy to say them. It's easy to repeat them. But how to do it? By God's grace. As Paul says to the Philippians, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. You see, David had been anointed king here, 1 Samuel 16, before this event. I don't know if Jonathan knew that, but none of that stopped him, even if he did know. He was going to be David's friend, and on this occasion, David was going to be his friend. Do I speak to somebody who has no friend? Is it because you're jealous, criticizing, carping, cannot recognize the gifts and abilities of others? I challenge myself in this. Can you not allow someone else to do better than you? Maybe that's hindering us, brother and sister, from having friends. If a man wants friends, he must show himself friendly. We want friends, we need friends. We must show friendship. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's a great mark here for both men. David and Jonathan. Jonathan and David both show the greatness that is in them. The love, the tenderness, and the friendship. The love between them. But on this occasion, I think really, the cup, as it were, the crown, goes to Jonathan. He, as it were, steps down. He takes the initiative. Jonathan became one in spirit with David. If there is an unbeliever listening to me, in the very real sense, my friend, you are friendless. The one friend you need, you don't have. Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. Of course, he's more than the friend of sinners. He's the Savior of sinners. He's the Lord of sinners. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. But this man receiveth sinners and eats with them. And one day, when he is your judge, you will wish with all your heart that the man judging you was your best friend, your dearest friend. And there is a friend that sticks closer than the brother. That's true in a human sense, but in this glorious spiritual sense, Jesus Christ is better than any human friend. Come to Jesus now. Receive him as your Lord, your King, your Savior, yes, as your friend. Receive him now, and you will have the friend that is the best of all friends. And so there are the two lessons here. For us believers, let us be friends, show ourselves to be friendly, and encourage this mutual love and self deprecation to the receiving of others and the honoring of others, and we shall gain and benefit and reveal to others the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we keep Christ in view in all our friendship. And unbeliever, you need the one true and necessary friend. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, and he will become your everlasting friend.